भवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Tatas
Mansang Sam
Tav
Atra
Kshatriyao
Jatao
Matre
Swashratmachao
Tava
Aduna
Shapa
Nirmuktao
Krishna Chakra
Hatam
Hasao
Tavat
Rakshatriyao
Chatao
Matra Swasratma Jao
Tava
Aduna Shapa Nirmuktao
Krishna
Chakra Hadang
Hasao
Thavat Rakshatriyao
Jathao
Matra Swashratma Jao
Tava
Aduna Shapa Nirmuktao
Krishna
Chakra Hatam
Hasao
Havat Rakshatriyao Jathao
Matra
Swashratma Jao
Tava
Aduna Shapa
Nirmuktao
Krishna Chakra Hadang
Hasao
Third birth. The same Jai and Vijay appeared in a family of Kshatriyas as your cousins, the sons of your aunt. Because Lord Krishna has struck them with his disc, all their sinful reactions have been destroyed, and now they are free from the curse. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In their last birth, Jai and Vijay did not become demons or rakshasas. Instead, they took birth in a very exalted Kshatriya family related to Krishna's family. They became first cousins of Lord Krishna and were practically on equal footing with him. By personally killing them with his own disc, Lord Krishna destroyed whatever sinful reactions were left in them because of the curse of the Brahmins. Narada Muni explained to Maharaj Yudhisthira that by entering Krishna's body, Shishupal re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the Lord's associate. Everyone had seen this incident.
Om Agyanti Midandasya Jnananjana chalakaya chakshuru milibham jena tasmai sri gurve namaha sri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadam mayam tadati shva padantikam vandreham sri guru sri juta patakamalam sri guru vaishnavamscha rupam sagrachatam sahakana raghunatham vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam sri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita sri shakam vitam cha he krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate Esha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
In their third birth, the same Jaya and Vijaya appeared in a family of Kshatriyas as your cousins, the sons of your aunt. Because Lord Krishna has struck them with his disc, all their sinful reactions have been destroyed, and now they are free from the curse. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. Text 44 through 46. How Krishna performs his pastimes, how he orchestrates the lives of his devotees and material nature is something that is inconceivable. Even to the greatest of personalities. Maharaj Yudhisthira, very dear friend of Krishna. Arjuna was like Krishna's equal as a cousin brother. But Maharaj Yudhisthira, because of his seniority and age, he was a cousin brother that Krishna honored and respected. Carried out duties for Yudhisthira Maharaj. Such an exalted soul. But even he, we find, was bewildered witnessing the nature of Krishna's mercy. Because we know the laws of karma. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. Yudhisthira Maharaj knows about these philosophical principles more than any of us. But what is he seeing? He's seeing Shishupal, who was not only sinful, but he hated God. And his life was dedicated to blaspheming and destroying God. Now Krishna says in Gita, Jejatamam prapadyante tamstataiva pachamya, that as you approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. Why would Krishna give Shishupal such a benediction, the ultimate benediction? He was Krishna's enemy his whole life. So envious of Krishna. Of all attributes toward another, envy is so bad. To envy a person to the extent that you want to destroy them, destroy their reputation, kill them. That was Shishupal. And he became so out of hand that Krishna had to kill him. And after all that, he sees the spirit of Shishupal enter into Krishna's body in a way that, according to this purport, he went to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Now this was amazing to Yudhisthira Maharaj. And because he's a humble Vaishnav, he wants to seek a senior devotee and inquire. This is the nature of all Vaishnavas, eager to find a senior devotee and inquire. So, Narada Muni is in these pages describing the unseen background of Shishupal's life, which is very interesting. There are many levels to learn from in this particular pastime. It has been commented on by our acharyas elaborately, because in order to make spiritual progress, these teachings are very, very important. First of all, he's describing what took place just outside the gate of Vaikuntha, where Jai and Vijay, the dedicated, devoted gatekeepers, made a serious mistake. They misused their free will, not necessarily with wrong motivations, but they were bewildered. Krishna ultimately staged it. Srila Prabhupada explains that when Krishna wants to fight with powerful demons, really powerful demons, he chooses his devotees to become those demons. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, everything within us is within Krishna in its perfect state. And just like people like chivalrous activities, so Krishna has that propensity. So it's like playing with his devotees, but very serious playing. So ultimately it was Krishna's will. And a lot is in this story which teaches us not to judge people by what they appear to be. The four Kumaras are the eldest sons of Brahma. But they look like little children. It's hard to take little children so seriously. They're nice, they play, we laugh at them, we love them, but taking them seriously, especially when they want to do something against the rules. Yes? Just like if one of the little 4-year-old children of our congregation wants to just run up on the altar and start playing Krishna's flute. What will you do? Will you say, oh, very nice? Brahmacharis will say, where's the mother? Where's the father? What are you doing? They'll take the child off. No, no, you cannot go on the altar and play with Krishna's flute. He's a child. You can't take him so seriously. So it was like that. Two little naked children coming to the gateway saying, we want to go in and see Vishnu. Now, why do you think you're a gatekeeper? You're a gatekeeper. It's your duty to keep unqualified people out. Otherwise, you don't need gatekeepers. So, you know, they have to be, it's their service. They have to be convinced that this person is qualified to enter Vaikuntha. They say, no, you cannot enter. Now, these four Kumaras, they're completely transcendental people. They're already totally Brahman realized. They're not subjected to anger. Jayato vishayan pungsang sangat sangat jayate sangat teshu bajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodo bajayate. That when we contemplate the objects of the senses, attachment develops. From attachment, lust. When lust is unfulfilled, anger. The four Kumaras had no lust. That's why they stayed at 4 or 5 years old, so that lust would never enter their heart. Because they knew how powerful it was. And they know how when lust enters your heart, it inevitably has to go into anger. Because it's going to be unfulfilled. There's going to be anxiety. And then we're going to lose our memory. Our intelligence will be gone. And then we'll engage in abominable acts. Yes? Now, profit, adoration, distinction is a subtle form of lust. And we see that when one contemplates pratishtha, the subtle form of lust, prestige, then the same thing happens. We contemplate that. We develop attachment for our position. We develop attachment for our profile or whatever. And then when it's frustrated, anger. From anger, we lose our memory, our intelligence, and we act by speaking or acting in ways that offend others. And then we fall down. That is why this pratishtha is considered a subtle form of lust, because the same principle is controlling it. Now, the four Kumaras were beyond all this. If they were attached to prestige, why they stay 5-year-old children naked? They have no attachment to prestige. Like Sukadev Goswami, the last thing he concerned about was prestige. In fact, just the opposite. He was happy when people misjudged him so that he would not become entangled in all of this. So why the four Kumaras get angry? It's Krishna's will. Somehow or other, Krishna orchestrated within their heart to become angry. So Jaya and Vijay send them, get out from here. You have no right. Who are you? What is your position? In one sense, their anger was not uncontrolled. They wanted to teach them a good lesson.
Yeah, you have no right to be in your position unless you do it right. Yes? You're unqualified to be here. You have to learn a good lesson. We curse you to fall into the material world. It's serious. And Vishnu came out because he loves his devotees. And he actually protected Vajjaya and Vijay. But still, they had to be born as demons 3 times. As the enemies of God. Narada Muni is explaining their first birth. Very exalted. The son of Kashyapa and Diti. Very, very great personalities. Kashyapa was the father of Vamanadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Factually, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha are the cousin brothers of the Lord, Vamanadev. And their next birth, Vishrava and Keshini. Vishrava is not an ordinary person. He's the son of Pulastya Muni, one of the greatest of the Brahmin sages, who was the son of Lord Brahma. And from them, 4 children were born. Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Vibhishan, Suparnaka. Now, both Hiranyakashipu and Ravana were the rulers of the race of Rakshasas. But this particular birth is very different. Shutashrava was the sister of Vasudev, the father of Krishna. She was married to Damagosh, the king of Chedi, and their son Shishupal. That means Shishupal is Krishna's first cousin. The son of Krishna's paternal aunt. We know he was born with 3 eyes and 4 arms. And the first, he didn't cry like most children. He brayed like an ass. What would you do if you gave birth to a child like that? Mothers, you know, your little child's just this big. Well, this child, this big, goes. Three eyes, 4 arms. Parents didn't know what to do. It's horrible. And then they were told that the person who will kill your child, when he goes on that child, on that person's lap, one of his eyes and 2 of his arms will disappear. So they wanted to know this, so they could protect their child from that person. So everyone that was coming to visit the baby, they were putting, Shrutashravas was putting on the lap to see what happens. Nothing was happening. Still, he was these ugly child with 3 eyes and 4 arms, and he just like a little monster. Now, asses are really, really irritating when they... Cows are very sweet. Yes. Birds are very sweet. Even lions, they bring about heroism. But asses... Obnoxious. You know, we read about people who roar like lions. That's glorifying them. But have you ever heard anybody glorified for braying like an ass? And he brayed really, even though he was so small, it was very loud. Just struck fear in everyone's heart. So one day, Krishna and Balaram came to the house. And like everyone else, Shrishravas, the mother, puts Shishupala in Krishna's lap, and all of a sudden, whoop, whoop, the eye and the arms come off. She was concerned. She was begging Krishna, please don't kill my son. Please don't kill him. So he promised her, in any given time, I will forgive him 100 times. But beyond that, then I'm not responsible for this promise. That's Shishupal. But he's actually in a very exalted position. Shishupal is not a rakshasa like Ravana, Kumbhakarna, or Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. He's actually prince and king of a royal dynasty that is related to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport, from a social position, he was on equal footing to Krishna. Just as Krishna was Dwarkadish, here's Chedi Raj, king of Chedi. They're all related. They're all great kingdoms. So Narada Muni is explaining what Yudhisthira Maharaj and nobody else could see about the background of Shishupal. On the surface, he's just an envious, blasphemous, sinful demon. Yes? That's all. But what brought him to that point? What's his background? Ultimately, his background is he was an associate of Krishna who just made a serious mistake and had to fall into all these demoniac consequences. Now, from one perspective, Krishna's teaching how he's equal to everyone. Because Shishupal was constantly remembering Krishna. In fact, Narada Muni tells that I wish I could be so absorbed in remembering Krishna as Shishupal. That is striking. That's a humble position. Narada Muni is chanting the glories of the Net Lord in a favorable way and preaching the love of God everywhere, for all times, playing on his veena. Something like Nityananda Prabhu. Brahmachari playing veena. It's very sweet, actually. And he is honoring Shishupal. I wish I could have the absorption Shishupal does. This is the quality of a Vaishnava. This is Saragrahi, seeing the essence. All the horrible demoniac things of Shishupal, Narada Muni is praising that even though he's envious, he's lusty, He wanted to marry Rukmini. Yes, he was totally lusty for the goddess of fortune. He was really a rascal. Krishna's own consort. He was lusty after her. And he was absolutely, absolutely furious when Krishna took her away. Similar to Ravana and Sita. Ravana wanted to take Ramchandra's consort for his own pleasure. Shishupal had that same mentality. He wanted to take Krishna's consort for his own sense gratification. And ultimately, both were frustrated. But yet, Narada Muni is seeing the good in him. Yes, that all happened. But that's all more or less superficial. What's really important is he's always remembering Krishna. That well-known story of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where there were two articles in newspapers about Gaudiya Math. One was very favorable, and one was extremely critical. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the critical one was far better. And the devotees could not understand. Why? He said, because so many times Krishna's name is here. The other one, it doesn't say the name so much. Well, Saragrahi, looking for the essence. If someone reads this, they're going to chant Krishna's name so many times. This is a good article. Narada Muni is praising Shishupa, always thinking of Krishna. This is the power of being absorbed in remembering Krishna. Ultimately, Krishna reciprocates. Therefore, somehow or other, we should always be absorbed in remembering Krishna. Even Kamsa, because he was absorbed in remembering Krishna, he ultimately became completely purified too. But another message of here that we find here is that actually every living being is, if we extend the analogy some, every living being is something like Jayan Vijay. We are all originally Krishna conscious. But at a certain point, time immemorial back, we made a choice. We misused our independence and made a serious mistake. And due to that serious mistake, we had to leave the spiritual world. Some say we were in Vaikuntha directly, some say we were in Brahmajyoti, whatever. But we left the spiritual position. Because we misused our independence and wanted to act independent, separate from Krishna. And every demon that is here today or any other time has the same origin. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Aranitya Das. We're all eternally servants of Krishna. Love of Krishna is within everyone's heart. So if we trace out anyone, whoever they may be, we'll ultimately find that they're good. We'll ultimately find that they're spirit souls, they're our brothers and sisters, they just made some serious mistakes, and due to the mistakes and the laws of karma and the will of the Lord and everything else, they're in the predicament they are now. Some people are ruthless and they're cruel due to greed and pride. No concern for people's lives. No second thought to murder hundreds, thousands, even millions of people for their own benefit, to fulfill their own needs or objectives. Even such demons, the worst, essentially, they're good. They're part of Krishna. Essentially, they love Krishna. At one time, they were pure souls. They made mistakes. And therefore, the series of mistakes that were created have brought them into this position. Now, those whose dharma is to protect the innocent by giving proper justice to those who sin, it is their duty to punish people. And actually, in doing so, Srila Prabhupada explained, when a God-conscious king punishes you, he's actually doing the greatest favor, because he's freeing you from all the karma of what you've done. Otherwise, you may have to suffer many, many births for that karma. But we find preachers, they have a different perspective, like Narada Muni. They're looking for the essence in everyone. The greatest of all preachers was Nityananda Prabhu. Balaram, who comes as a preacher. Now, Jai and Vijay, in their first two births, they were totally surrounded kings of Rakshasas. They were the worst. In this birth of Shishupal, he's actually a very highly esteemed Kshatriya in the family of Krishna. And then their next bonus birth, as Jagai and Madhai, they're Navadvip Brahmins. You don't get any better than that. A Navadvip Brahmin. But they misused their independence in that situation and became horrible terrorists. Even the government had no power to discipline them. That's how powerful they were. Even the Mughal rulers didn't want to go near them because they were just so dangerous and so volatile and so horrible. Hare Krishna. But Nityananda Prabhu was saying that essentially they're devotees. They love Krishna. And yes, all you can tell me about the horrible things that they've done are correct. But essentially, they're good and they just made some serious mistakes. And now they're implicated in the reactions of all these mistakes, and that's why they're so bad. Seeing from that perspective, and wants to just focus on that essence of the good within them and awaken it. That is preacher. When Srila Prabhupada went to the West, and even when he came back to India, he understood. These people are eating meat. These people are having illicit sex. These people are taking intoxications. These people are just wasting their life away with horrible activities. And the Brahmins of India just, they're sinful. Don't go near them. Prabhupada saw good in everyone. Even when he said rascaldom about people, he was saying that to protect us. But ultimately, he saw good in them too. Just like Vrindavan Das Thakur. He says, if anyone offends Nityananda Prabhu, then I kick him in the head. Hare Krishna. Is that the way Vaishnavas speak? But that's His mercy. That's His kindness. Because He's thinking that those persons are going to have to suffer so bad for their offenses. I want to save them. If I kick them on the head, then my kick on the head will relieve them of so much of the karma of their offenses. So it's actually good for them. And also, maybe they'll wake up if they get a good kick on the head. And they'll stop being so nonsense. And also, if Nityananda Prabhu sees that I'm kicking these people on the head, then He's going to take special mercy on them and give them causeless mercy. So even when He's talking bad about people, He's only thinking about their welfare. Prabhupada said so many things about Charles Darwin. Some of you know. He said, I kicked my boot on his face. Because he was misleading so many people with these ideas that justify that there is no God. Giving a scientific analysis of how life comes from matter. In his equation, there's really no need for a God. And because it became scientific truth in the world of science, millions and hundreds of millions of people, even religious people, lose their faith in the necessity of God. Then religion becomes unscientific because it doesn't match what he's saying. And he's a scientist. So Prabhupada, to protect us, he chastised. But ultimately, greatest benediction, something like Vrindavan Das Thakur, same thing. Ultimately, because Prabhupada is remembering Charles Darwin so many times, I can't say, hasn't been revealed to me, but he may be sitting in the room amongst us. Relishing Srimad Bhagavatam class. He may be the biggest book distributor in this year's marathon. Distributing Prabhupada's books. You don't know, but definitely blessings are coming upon him. Because a great soul is remembering him and remembering him with compassion. Not with hatred, but with compassion. Even the chastisement of a great soul is compassion. Nala Kuvera, Manigriva, they were totally an illusion. But Narada Muni saw the good in them. He saw it. They are eternal servants of Krishna. They're sons of Kuvera. They're coming from the spiritual world. What are they behaving? So nonsense. For their good, he cursed them to be trees for a long time. They were trees for centuries, millenniums. They just standing as trees. Because that's what they needed. Standing there as trees, they didn't get to see Krishna, but they were totally humbled because they had the same consciousness as Manigriva and Nala Kuvera. They didn't lose their consciousness of their identity, but now they're like this trees. Now that is hard. That's hard love. First you're beautiful and all these celestial ladies are just so attracted to you and you're having affairs with them and you're wearing beautiful ornaments and everyone's bowing down to you and you're totally attached to your prestige and your sense enjoyment. And here you are, trees. Not easy. Now, if they just had the consciousness of trees, it wouldn't have been so much of a problem. But they had the consciousness of demigods in the body of trees. Some of you may have hurt your back. And the doctor says, 8 weeks of complete bed rest. Yes? How many of you have ever gone through something like that, where you have to take bed rest? It's miserable, isn't it? You want to do so many things, you just have to lay there. You want to get up and do things for your... You just can't do anything. Well, can you imagine? Millions of years, thousands and thousands and thousands of years in the body of a tree? Where you can't even move? Very, very difficult. Now, when the sun shines on a regular tree, because their consciousness is so low, they don't really care. But with Mani Griva and Nala Kuvera, they were conscious, like demigods. Could you imagine standing in the hot sun all day, every day in the summer, and you can't move? It's torturous. And rains, monsoons. And just like now, you know, there's insects that go on you when you go like this, because it's... Sometimes you're chanting japa and you don't want... Ultimately, you go like this. It's too disturbing. Yes? Well, they have all these insects and birds eating them away, and they're just standing like they can't do anything. It's not that they could move their branches. Very difficult. Extremely humbling. Nothing for them to be proud of. But that's what they needed. And eventually, after being totally humbled by their existence as naked, poverty-stricken trees, and they want to have love affairs and everything else, and they're just standing as trees, what can you do? Very difficult. But they were humbled to the point of thousands of years. That's what it took. And then they got to see Krishna. And by seeing Krishna, they surrendered. So even though they were acting like debauched rascals, Narada Muni saw the good in them and wanted to deliver them. And he did. So Narada Muni is explaining from his perspective. Essentially, everyone is part of Krishna. Everyone is a child of Krishna. Everyone is essentially good. But everyone, due to mistakes and wrong decisions and misuse of free will, at one point or another, have gotten themselves implicated and incriminated in the laws of material nature. And some have become extremely degraded and cruel due to the process. But what makes a person like that? If we really trace back, we'll see that this person was influenced by so many energies to act in certain ways. And if we trace back, instead of hating a person, we're compassionate to a person. Especially amongst devotees. Srila Prabhupada would say about devotees' relationships with each other. Prabhupada would say, you do not know who this person is. Hare Krishna. Even if they're engaged in bad activities, yes, it's wrong. We must try to stop them. We must try to protect people from that situation. But still, we don't really know who that person may be. To the extent of Jai and Vijay, Shishupal and Dantavakra, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyaksha. They engaged in the worst activities. But here Narada Muni is saying, but you don't know who they really are. If you really trace out their background, they're great souls. Somehow or other, they just got affected by material nature and got implicated in the complications. That's the way Prabhupada saw devotees. So we have to be, there has to be this balance. We have to protect the innocent from the misbehavior of those who have gone wrong. But it has to be balanced with understanding that this person who has gone so wrong, if we really try to trace out his past, we may see a very, very special soul. Just temporarily confused. That's why ultimately God is the real judge. In the Bible it is said, judge not lest ye be judged. So this is one important lesson from today's verse. That if you trace out why a bad person is bad, if you really try to go into the background of what brought a person to be like this, you will feel great compassion for that person. You will not feel hateful to that person. If you see it by the surface, you could really hate that person. Krishna always loved Shishupal. He hated the disease, but he loved the diseased. And that's what Krishna consciousness is about. Everyone's good, but they're diseased. We should hate the disease, but we should never hate the diseased. Because the diseased person, the soul, is good. In our Vaishnava Gaudiya philosophy, there's no bad souls. Souls are good. And this lesson is a very, very important thing for us to understand so that we can actually help to uplift people. For managers, it's a great challenge. You have to make decisions. Sometimes you have to punish people. But at the same time, we have to do the needful. We have to protect the sanctity of our institution, of our society, of our ashrams. But at the same time, beyond that, there should be this sense of compassion. Balabhadra, I'm sorry, Kalakrishna Das. He betrayed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in South India. He was his personal servant. And he left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the middle of the night to join some dacoits. Yes? This tribe of nomads who were performing terrible deeds. He somehow or other opened himself up to their influence, got affected, and left the Lord. Very serious thing. We've all been like so many devotees. Just due to influences, we do the wrong things. We make the wrong choices. Have any of you ever done like that? Due to the influences of people around you, somehow or other you get bewildered and you just make the wrong choice. And it could create such havoc in your life. Well, that's what happened with Kal Krishnadas. He left the service of the Lord to serve horrible people. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rescued him. But still, he had to set an example. When they returned to Puri, he didn't even talk to Kal Krishnadas. Kal Krishnadas was standing right there. And Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and others. And he said that he abandoned me, he betrayed me. Therefore, he can go anywhere he wants, but I want nothing to do with him. He can no longer be with me in any way. He banished him. Lord Chaitanya rejected him. Kal Krishnadas was mortified. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to do it because he had to set the example for others. Compassion is not just a sentiment. Real compassion is a very, very deep, subtle subject. When you're being compassionate, what's really, ultimately, the best thing for this person? And we also have to consider what's best for the whole society around. If we give a favor to a person, but we corrupt the whole society around, set the wrong example for other people to follow, that's not compassion. So real compassion is sentiment. It's the sentiment of the well-being for that person, but based on practical philosophy, what's actually best for that person. Narada Muni's compassion to Manugriva was to make them suffer as trees. Hare Krishna. And we find in Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, so many cases. Who was that? Vidyadhara? That he was a snake. It was a snake that was swallowing Nanda Maharaj. And everyone was beating him with fiery logs, and he just kept devouring Nanda Maharaj. And they couldn't save him. All the Vrijavasis, they were trying everything they can, but the snake just kept roar, roar, devouring. Nanda Maharaj was going in. And then Krishna came and just put his lotus feet on him. Yes, and he became a demigod. He was cursed by a sage. Out of compassion. He had to take a horrible body of a snake. Hare Krishna. So compassion is not just sentiment. Compassion is really what's best for the person. And also, compassion involves how we deal with a particular person. We have to set the proper example and standards for the society. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Kal Krishnadas. Otherwise, he'll set the standard that people could do these nonsense types of things and just be forgiven. And if you think you can get away with it that easy, then you won't be so strict. You won't be so determined to do the right thing. Determination is a very, very important part of our spiritual progress. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he set the standard. He rejected him. But ultimately he loved him. Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees, with the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, showered him with affection and gave him another service.
Yes?
By which he could be connected indirectly. And in this regard, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, explains he was the president of the Madras Gaudiya Math. And one brahmachari did some horrible thing. But then he repented and came back. And came to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And asked, can I have some service? And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, out. Out from here. But then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur called the president and others and said, give him some service. They said, how could we give him service when you rejected him? We're only your representatives. He said, no, for the sake of creating the proper standards for the society of Vaishnavas, I had to reject him. But on the side, you can indirectly give him some service. Because ultimately we want him to go back to Godhead. So simultaneous strictness and forgiveness, compassion, depending on the time, place, and circumstance. Because these devotees see that ultimately everyone is good. Jagai and Madhai were as sinful as they were in their previous births. Previously, the Lord killed them. In this birth, they were given love of God. They gave up all their sins. Because actually, Nityananda Prabhu is in the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who is in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. We are the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. Narada Muni was strict with certain, but always, it was never due to vengeance or anger. He hated the diseased, but loved the diseased. And whatever decisions he made was to cure that person and all others from the disease of separateness from Krishna. So, how does this relate to our lives today? I'd like to ask some of you your opinions of how this relates to our lives today. Would anyone like to speak their realization? Govinda Prabhu.
I can ask question, Maharaj.
No, you have to. You can be honest. You can say it doesn't relate to our life today. Or you can say, I don't understand what you talked about today.
It's very much relates to our life. We also face such situations. I learned from you only that to deal with such situations, if you are not Krishna conscious and matured, even though you may have the history of such incident previously, but if you are not properly Krishna conscious and matured, then we, based upon the previous history rather than the right understanding, we make mistakes and take a wrong decision. So therefore, it's a very challenging for... These situations always arise, they keep coming, and then if our right attitudes are not there, then we actually enjoy the faults of devotees and we take pleasure in punishing devotees. So therefore, as you very nicely explained, that this challenge of loving the diseased but hating the disease, we'll keep learning from it by hearing the classes.
Thank you. You are giving hope even to me. Srinathji Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was reading this morning something which you had said long, long back. I think it was in your Vrindavan days. When I think your previous name was Ratin Krishna Das, unofficially. So it's written there that one who has a lot of love can give love. And the only way you can get the love is by serving the loved one. That's a price. And now you had realized this so many years ago. So, this matter of hating the... Hate is there within us. If we hate the sin and you love the sinner, then that balances out, because we have to be a balanced person. So we have to exhaust our hate by loving the sinner. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Radhesham Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
One new lesson I learned, Maharaj, today from your lecture. Actually, you were telling the example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejecting Kala Krishnadas and how Kala Krishnadas was given services by the other devotees. So, generally, the easiest thing is to do is to reject the sinners, to keep a distance from them. I feel that I would generally do that out of fear that one rotten apple would rot all other apples. You know, it's better to keep one rotten apple away. At the same time, I had earlier learned that we should pray for them from a distance. You know, because bringing them near would increase the hatred and aversion for them. And that would spoil my consciousness. But I'm really going to take a step in my life where I will endeavor to help them by your mercy. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Nityananda Prabhu. You are Narada Muni's Veena representative in the temple.
Your lecture is hope-giving for, at least for me, that because for many years staying here, in spite of so many of difficulties and faults, your training of senior devotees helped us, at least for me, to continue in this progress, in this path. So, I hope that I can also develop some of these qualities in dealing with others.
Thank you. Anyone else? Radhika.
Thank you.
is one of my gurus. It's all right. Just seeing your expression is good enough. But on behalf of Radhika, Radharani can speak.
Maharaj, hearing today's lecture gives us great hope, because at least I know that I'm in the condition that I'm very degraded, and I know that Vaishnavas will always give me shelter and pull me out from my degraded condition. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Huh?
Govinda Prabhu has question. Due to his compassion upon all the rest of you, he wants to change the course of this class. Paradukaduki. He knows how much he suffered when I called on him, so he doesn't want anyone else to go through that.
Wish Maharaj, you are true. Maharaj, this principle of hating the sin and loving the sinner is really very challenging. As Radhesham Prabhu mentioned, that when we see the person who has sinned, disobeyed and performed some sinful activities, it's extremely difficult. That, you know, every time when we see them, we always, their fault comes in the forefront, and seeing their good qualities becomes extremely difficult. So how actually in a day-to-day situation we change our attitude and try to see these good qualities in them and also engage them in service. Especially as managers, best solution is that just take them away. Let Krishna take care of them.
Sometimes you have to do that. But it should be with the proper attitude. Sometimes to protect the innocent, we have to isolate them from those who are misleading, misguiding, misdirecting. So sometimes we have to do that. But it should not be with hate, it should be with compassion. According to time, place, and circumstance. Does that answer your question? What are your realizations of my answer?
Very deep, so still I have to learn to go deep and pick up the truth and practice it.
Yes, Brother Bihari Prabhu. Do you want to give realization?
Maharaj, when we are new devotees, we just follow and we just do our service that has been allotted to us. But as we grow, we also develop some understanding of scriptures, and we understand the mood of the Guru, Prabhupada, and we think probably things should be done like this or should not be done like this. And at such times, while we are engaged in our service, we also see other devotees engaged in their respective services. So we know that we should not judge them, but we feel, oh, this is not correct, what he is doing is not correct. And such times, we get a thought that it's very stupid to judge, because we can't do even 1% of what services what they are doing. So just mind your own business. But at such times also we get a thought that probably we are not being honest, and we are probably being a hypocrite in just quietly accepting what's happening without expressing our concern. So my question is, how should we balance between these two? That we want to be sold out servant, we want to serve devotees. At the same time, we want to be honest and we want to express certain concerns we have on certain issues. So should we just shut up and just do our service, not say anything? Or should we also voice out and sometimes probably be assertive and not exactly demand, but want to know an explanation about why certain decisions are taken like this or like that from other devotees?
That is also service. But it should be done with the proper etiquette and through the proper channels. If we see something that we don't think is right, instead of just broadcasting our criticism, which is destructive, we go through the proper channels and express our dissatisfaction and try to gain clarification. So things should be done in a constructive, even criticism should be expressed in a constructive way rather than a destructive way. And in Kali Yuga, generally, people express their criticism in an extremely destructive way because of false ego, because of a lack of culture, lack of maturity. But if we see something, if we feel something is not right, we don't just shut up, but we express it in a respectful way through the proper channels. Yes? And that is how Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do things. Yes, Srinathji Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is with reference to what Govind Prabhu mentioned. I have tried deeply to understand the sin and the sinner business. I just need a confirmation whether I am on the right lines or on the wrong lines from you. The sin is a material thing. There is no sin in the spiritual world. And therefore, by reductio ad absurdum, sin doesn't exist in the spiritual world. It exists outside the spiritual world. And outside the spiritual world is a material world. And therefore, the sin only exists in the material world. So those who see sin are in the material world. And therefore, we who see sin are also sinful. Because we see the sin. And we are in the material world. So we have yet not gone into the spiritual world. And therefore, to rise to the spiritual world, we have to stop seeing the sinful things as a sinful thing, but as a stepping stone for our going into the spiritual world. So therefore, we have to put the sin down as not a very important thing and rise above the sin of other people's sin and our sin. And therefore, we have to love the sinner.
You are very sincere.
Uttamadhikari just sees everyone serving Krishna so nicely. But we cannot artificially pretend to be Uttamadhikaris. As even the Uttamadhikaris, when they come to this world to show compassion to others, to preach, they come to the standard of a Madhyamadhikari, which means we must discriminate. We must discriminate. Narada Muni is Uttamadhikari, but when he's cursing people, he's taking the role like a Madhyamadhikari. He's discriminating. Otherwise, we cannot help people. But we should not lose focus of the essence. That is really what is important. We have to deal with the situation in the most effective, compassionate way. And compassion doesn't mean just sentiment. It means maintaining the proper standards within the society, protecting the innocent, teaching the person the lesson they need to learn. Sometimes we have to be very, very strict. Sometimes strictness is compassion. Sometimes in Vaishnavism, even punishment is the greatest compassion that can be extended in that situation. So we have to discriminate, and we have to use our God-given intelligence, and we have to try to take proper advice from senior Vaishnavas and do our sadhana in such a way that we do become more mature so we can see the whole picture of what Krishna would want in this situation. But yes, there's no sin in the spiritual world. Sin is something only of this material world. But we have to discriminate and deal with those sins in this world in order to elevate ourselves and others to the spiritual world. But it should all be focused on that goal. When a Vaishnava makes a heavy decision, it's for the ultimate good of bringing the person and other people back home, back to Godhead. It's not to get revenge. It's not to punish for punishment's sake. Things have to be seen in the perspective of Krishna consciousness, of being conscious of Krishna. Even Maharaj Yudhisthira, why did Krishna send Shishupal to Vaikuntha, of all people? He's the least likely to go to Vaikuntha of anybody. He's the worst. Why? But when he understood the background of how Shishupal became Shishupal and why he was acting like he was doing, the circumstances, he understood. So we will end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.